welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Today, I have a special guest on the podcast. His name is David Grumping, and he's a mental toughness expert. He works at GeminiExecutiveCoaching.com, and he helps business people and athletes, all kinds of different people, work on their mental toughness. Today, he talks with me and answers four listener questions, and we cover a lot of great stuff. So let's get right down to business. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
All right, my guest on the Essential Tennis Podcast today is David Grumping, and he works for Gemini Executive Coaching, who has a website at GeminiExecutiveCoaching.com. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ian. Brand new website. We're really excited, by the way.
Yeah, I just went and checked it out. It looks great. Looks like you have a blog there, and you told me that you'll have a newsletter sign up pretty soon as well.
Yeah, within a week or two. And it's also it's mostly business oriented, but there's a special section there for sports mental toughness.
Okay, great. Well, we've had you on the show before, and I'm really happy to have you back. You gave our listeners some great advice on mental toughness, and I believe that we talked about choking and avoiding choking the first time that you were on the program. Isn't that right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to discuss some listener questions today. On the forums at EssentialTennis.com, I posted a topic asking for regular visitors to post their questions for David, and we've got four questions that we're hopefully going to get to all of them today. No guarantees, though. And a lot of these have a little bit of overlap as well, so we'll probably be discussing kind of some of the same answers to these questions here and there. But what do you say we get started with our first question right away, David?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, well, the first one comes to us from Brian on the forums. He wrote and said, "We have all dealt with that not-so-easy-to-deal-with player on the court. You know, the cocky, bad line calling, laugh when you miss a shot type player, etc. These guys, for me, are the hardest to deal with. When I am on the court, I try to be as gracious as possible in regard to line calls, etc. There is a guy that shows up to our round-robin play on Fridays that is just unbearable. When you miss, he lets out an audible chuckle. When he hits a winner, he does the fist pump and woohoos and stares directly at you. I think it's kind of funny sometimes, but to me, it can be a bit unsportsmanlike. Besides wanting to kill him, any other tips would be great. What do you think?"
No, actually, just kill him. No, I'm kidding.
We don't condone killing on the Essential Tennis Podcast.
No, neither do I. Neither do
okay,
I.
Okay, good.
You know, there are a lot of types of players that can be really, really annoying on the court, and this is just one example of this guy, right?
Sure.
And the simple answer is you have to not let him get to you. But everybody already knows this. But you don't do it because you don't have a lot of access to having this happen. So let's have that happen. Get some access here to not letting it actually get to you, okay?
Sure.
So the first thing you want to acknowledge is this type of player is like a total threat to your concentration, a threat to having fun, winning, and also a threat to your mental toughness, a huge mental toughness challenge, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing to do is, you know, we have all kinds of judgments and opinions about this type of player, like they're a jerk, they're an a-hole, or whatever version of evil that we decide they are, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, for this type of player, and it's Brian who posted this, right?
Yep, yep.
So, Brian specifically, and, you know, this goes for all of you out there, and whatever type of annoying player you come across, you may want to think specifically what you accuse him of in your head and what you're calling him.
Okay.
And, you know, why he's bad and wrong.
Okay.
All right, so this is the first thing. So think of it, and this is the first thing to let go of, because thinking this stuff, actually, you're poisoning your own mental game when you do this. So you want to give up thinking, oh, this guy's a jerk, he shouldn't be acting this way, blah, 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 blah. All right?
So you're saying by by kind of saying it to yourself, it kind of makes it easier to release and stop thinking about it?
Can you say that again, Ian?
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. So you're saying,
yeah,
it kind of admit to yourself exactly what your thoughts are and what your true feelings are about this person. That's step number one.
Right. And then give up being opinionated about this person.
Okay. So then just let it go after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because look, this person's going to be this way regardless of what we think about them.
Yeah.
And you know, as much as we want to change what they do, chances are they're not going to. You know, we really want to change. You know, we want to have them have good court etiquette or something like that. And we think how much of a jerk they are, and maybe they'll change or something like that. But chances are it's not going to happen. Like they're going to keep doing it.
And we see those kind of confrontations all the time, don't we? Where one player will kind of confront the other person and like you're talking about, try to change their personality or say, you know, listen, you shouldn't be this way. You need to stop right now. And like, clearly that doesn't work.
Right. Like they're actually going to do it. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So another thing is, you know, getting upset with this type of player is you're ultimately getting yourself off the hook from stepping up and playing well, despite the challenging circumstance. And, you know, really stepping up and dealing with, you know, an annoying player will give you a whole lot more access to ignoring him and playing well.
So you're saying, so don't give yourself the excuse of saying, wow, I was playing this really annoying guy, I couldn't concentrate. So don't be the victim. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you have to totally give that up while you're playing and after you're playing.
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
That dialogue is going to pop up in your head. You have to completely cut it off.
Sure.
Okay? Because, you know, underline that you're responsible for playing. And a lot of times we blame other players and things like that, but you're ultimately responsible for you playing well.
What do you have some kind of mental tips or things that we can say to ourselves? Because I think that's a big point, and I'm glad that you made that point, that you're right. There's countless different excuses that anybody could come up with on any given day. You know, the wind, the sun, distractions, you know, opponent, line calls, cheating, you know. How do we get away from that kind of victim mentality or distraction mentality?
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, first is to realize that you do it and specifically where you do it.
Okay.
That's the first step. And also, when you do this, look, you're, especially in singles tennis, but also in doubles tennis, you really want to look at it like you're the one who's going to win. Not like, you know, you're going to win, beat the other players, but it's your job to win.
Okay.
Nobody else is going to win for you, right?
Shit, right.
I mean, unless the other person just plays really bad, but you don't want to rely on that.
Right.
So the first thing is to realize that you're responsible for you winning. Nobody else is going to have it happen. And there's no one else to blame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So that's the first step. And we'll get to what there is to do in a second, okay?
Okay, sure.
Let's see what. So this is the next part of my notes. That fits well. All right, so once, you know, all this, you know, thinking this guy's evil, trying to change how they're going to behave and how they're going to act and making excuses for you playing badly or losing. So once, and this stuff's all garbage, it's poisoned your mental game and your tennis game. So what there is to do now is really flex that mental muscle, and it really is like a muscle, and get yourself to focus on your game plan, or on mastery, or excellence, or whatever it is to keep you focused on during the match.
Sure. So a specific process of some kind.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you're focused on that, then you can't, you know, it's either that or blaming.
Thinking about how annoying your opponent is, right?
Right. And you got to also think about, you know, when you're thinking about how annoying the opponent is, or blaming them for you playing bad or something like that, or making some excuse, you're not happy and you're not playing well. I guarantee it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And ultimately, you're going to leave the court disappointed.
Yeah, and not only emotionally are you going to be negative and unhappy, but it takes your mind off anything that could be important to actually winning too, doesn't it? In other words, like your actual strategy or execution.
Right, good. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a choice whether you're going to focus on excuses and blame the other person, or if you're going to focus on strategy or excellence or being aggressive or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, a side note, and if you don't have anything to keep in mind when you're playing or anything to focus on while you're playing, I highly recommend you take some time to do that. Something that's really interesting to you.
Because, like what?
Huh?
Like what? Give us an example.
When I'm playing, I focus on breaking the other person down mentally.
Okay.
That's my focus. And when I, you know, find myself blaming or getting upset with the other person or something like that, I first have to notice it, and then I whip myself back into my focus.
Okay.
You know, some people could be, you know, a certain type of game plan. I think it was Sally. She spoke about how she started really concentrating on a game plan. That could work. Or really being aggressive or breaking the other person's backhand down. Something like that. Does that make sense? Can you think of any for yourself, Ian?
Sure. Well, for myself personally, I think I always perform the best when, the last example that you gave, breaking down somebody's backhand, I perform best when I'm focusing on a specific strategical element of my game. And usually for me, that ends up being figuring out what my opponent's least effective shot is, mm-hmm. and then just pummeling it.
Right.
And just hitting as many balls as possible to wherever they're least comfortable. And it kind of works in with what you were saying, breaking them down mentally, mm-hmm. and just making them feel uncomfortable as often as possible. That's usually when I'm playing best, that's usually what I'm focusing on.
Right. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And like you said, like pummeling their weak stroke.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty cool thing to focus on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very gratifying when you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And focusing on that is a lot more interesting than blaming the other person, right?
Yeah, I definitely agree, yeah.
But there is, you know, again, there is like a lot of juice of thinking they're evil and and they suck. There's a lot of juice in that, so you got to think of something more juicy, right?
No, you're right. It can be tempting to kind of take the bait and think about how terrible of a person they are. But ultimately, for me anyway, it's much more gratifying to walk off the court and know that you beat them and you were the better tennis player,
right.
Not necessarily
yeah.
the better cheater or the better talker or whatever.
Exactly. You know, this is something I talk about in my workshops all the time, that I, you know, things like thinking how they suck or you don't like them, or getting yourself, you know, making excuses for not playing well and thinking they're an evil player, things like that. You know, that kind of stuff I put on the category of a nasty benefit, and the, you know, these are kind of like eating Twinkies.
That's
you know,
funny.
Like we can all kind of relate to the juice that we get out of doing this. It's like a little bit of juice.
Sure,
that's what keeps
sure.
us doing it, even though we're hating life when we do it, right?
Right. Yeah.
But the reason we do it is there's kind of like that juice. Like right when you eat a Twinkie, when you're chewing it, it's like great. But in the long run, you're really unhealthy.
That's a great analogy. I love that.
Right. Yeah. So it's like eating Twinkies.
I can relate to that directly as well.
Yeah. So what I'd recommend is eat vegetables, everybody.
Oh, darn it. All right. All right. Well, anything else that we've spent a bunch of time on that. We have a couple other questions. Anything else to wrap that up before we move on? I think that's great advice, David.
I think I hit everything. And the main thing is just, look, this person's going to do what they're going to do, and you can't do anything about it. So keep your head in the game and focus on what you can do to win.
Sure. Well, great advice. Thanks a lot for going over that.
Sure.
Let's move on to our next question, which is from Charles. And this, I think for me personally, reading through these four questions, this one I think I would have had the most trouble answering myself. So I'm curious to see what you have to say about this one. Charles said, Ian discussed this on his blog on paying attention. Mental strength is trying to maximize how you play and not let nerves cause you to play worse than you normally would. However, sometimes people blame a lack of mental strength when they don't realize there are actually technical deficiencies. For example, when playing a pusher, they may find that they can't hit hard shots if their opponent doesn't hit hard shots to them first. They need pace to create pace themselves. How do you make a judgment that it's a technical problem that's causing your issues versus just plain nerves? And if you decide that it is nerves, how do you get less nervous as the match is being played? So basically, two-part question. How can you diagnose, David, is it a technical deficiency, something that your game, certain part of your game just isn't strong enough to handle this player, or is it nerves and is it a mental problem?
And if it is nerves, how do you deal with it, right?
Exactly.
So the first part is how do you tell, I'm going to answer the first part first, is,
yeah.
And you know, all the answers I'm giving for these questions, they can all kind of apply to all the questions that people have been asking. You know, they all partially answered different questions asked.
Okay.
So the first one is, how do you tell if it's your mental game or your physical game that's deficient here? So this is pretty easy for me to tell. And so let me let you in on how I kind of tell.
Sure.
And this question also hits on playing as well in competition as you do in practice, which a lot of people I know struggle with. So the best I can tell to be able to judge if it's a technical problem or if it's your mental game is, if you can do it in practice and not in competition, then it's mental.
Hmm.
Or if you can do something technical in one type of playing environment and then not in another, then I would say it's mental.
Oh, that totally makes sense.
Right. So, now I'm talking on a consecutive basis. You know, if in practice right. you hit the serve 100 miles an hour where it's usually 80, and
sure.
then you can't do it in competition, that's technical, right? But, you know, if you can consistently make, you know, if you can make 90% of your second serves in practice and you're not making it in competition, then it's a mental thing. Or if you can consistently hit either side, backhand or forehand, cross court in practice and you're not doing competition, then it's mental.
Well, I think that's great feedback, David. And I actually go over this point, but in a roundabout way, specifically with students where usually I spend a lot of my lesson time working on technical things, and I'll have somebody, let's say, rallying a forehand groundstroke cross court, and I'll give them a target and say, you have to hit this area 5 times in a row. And then we'll go and play points, and
nowhere near it, right?
Right, and none of our points last more than 3 shots.
Right,
and they had just completed a whole series of rallies where they had hit specific parts of the court over and over, and then we get to points, and it's just not there at all.
Right.
So that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And you know, also when you find yourself taking less pace, if you just find yourself not hitting it as hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or even pushing in competition where you don't hit like that in practice, it's mental.
Sure, yeah.
So that answers the first part. Now,
okay, so if it is nerves, or I guess let's just classify it more as a mental problem. How do we try to fix that
right.
while we're actually playing the match?
And one last thing also I forgot I want to add to
sure.
The first part is, you know, a pitfall a lot of players find themselves in is blaming their technique for a deficiency in performance.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's amazing how your technique goes downhill fast if your mental game is off. So my point is, a lot of times players will point to a technical issue where really it's an underlying lack of mental toughness at the source of the technical issue.
Sure.
Like if you're feeling tight, it's hard to hit, it's hard to swing out, right? You lose racket head speed per se.
Absolutely, yeah.
So this can cause a little confusion, so you want to be on the lookout for that. So the second part. So how do you get less nervous or deal with your nerves as a match is being played? Now, we could have a whole podcast series on this question.
Absolutely. Yeah, that wouldn't be hard at all.
And, you know, there are a million different causes and a million different solutions. So I'm going to give 2 things that I think will help most people deal
okay.
with this, okay?
Sure.
So the first thing, and we started talking about this in the first question, is to think what you're really committed to with tennis. Now, this could be getting great exercise, releasing stress, pummeling their weak shots, giving a good fight, pursuit of mastery, being a fierce competitor, or just having fun. You know, you can think of endless things like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you're really committed to with tennis, this is what you want to be focused on while you're playing. Right?
Makes sense.
These are just examples.
So give yourself a specific focus to take your mind off of whatever might be making you nervous.
Yeah. And I'm going to get to whatever it is that might be making you nervous. In a 2-pronged attack here. And if you don't have something like this, you want to spend some time thinking about this. It really is important. Because your ability to focus on what's going to be effective is mental toughness, in my mind. So then, the first thing I would recommend is to try on that you playing tennis has very little to do with you. And I'm going to say more about it, okay?
Hmm.
So you playing tennis has very little to do with you winning, and you losing, and everything to do with what you're committed to with tennis, which we just talked about a second ago, you know, like getting
sure.
great exercise, having fun, pummeling their weak strokes, things like that.
Right.
That's what tennis has everything to do with. And winning and losing is just one thing that happens.
as opposed to making it personal. And if you win or lose, it says something about you as a person.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the next thing I'm going to get into.
Okay.
Very good.
thank you.
You need me for this podcast. What am I doing here?
It didn't take me 2 seconds to get that. It's very nice. I get to sit here and be quiet for most of this so that I can think about what you're talking about. Please continue.
Yeah. So what it takes is completely giving up your interest in winning or disinterest in losing and completely focusing on and giving yourself to your commitment or what you're focusing on there in the moment fully. And allowing winning and losing to just be a byproduct of how well you focused on your focus or your commitment.
Sure. So does that mean that we shouldn't be, does that mean that winning and losing ultimately, not necessarily in the moment or during the match, but does that mean that winning or losing shouldn't matter to us at all?
Well, you know, you obviously want to have an intention to win, but you don't want that to be your focus.
Okay.
You know, if you're focused on winning and losing or the score or something like that, then you're going to be nervous. You want to be able to shift your focus. You're like, if you're attached to winning, you're going to play bad. You're going to get tight, all that stuff. It's being oriented towards some kind of result like that that's actually kind of insidious to your mental game and your game.
Okay. So we don't want our focus specifically to be on winning in the moment, but ultimately our general goal certainly should be to win rather than lose.
Yeah, good. Yeah, exactly. And I want to give an analogy to this.
Sure.
You know, winning or losing is the end result or byproduct, right? Now I want to use a driving analogy for this. Most listeners probably out there drive. You know, when you're driving from home to work, you're looking at what's, you know, the road 30 feet in front of you or so.
Right.
You're not looking at your work.
I hope not.
When
yes.
you're driving, you know, seriously, but you know, this is simple, right?
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
But when, you know, if you're looking at your work, you crash your car. But when we're playing tennis, we're looking at winning or losing, which would be synonymous here to looking at work when we're driving.
Right, right.
So you want to be focused right then on what's going to propel you to win. Not as an order to, but, you know, you do good driving to get to work and you get there. In tennis, you focus well and you use good mental toughness and you get to winning or you get to losing.
Sure.
And
so it's, yeah, right. It's important for people to understand the counterpoint to that too. I think that you could execute well on whatever your focus is and still win and still lose. I'm sorry. It's certainly possible.
Yep.
And so people shouldn't expect to win just because they perform well. Your opponent could always just be a stronger player than you, which is, you know, frustrating, but that's the reality of life.
I mean, I can have perfect mental toughness, and Nadal would still give me double digits.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Good example.
But I could play someone with, you know, who has around equal physical skill to me, and, you know, whether I win or lose, chances are it's going to be an outcome of how in the zone I am or how focused I am on my mental game.
Right. So it's kind of a specific component. Kind of a compartmentalized component of your overall game. It doesn't guarantee you're going to win, but on the other hand, it's certainly, you know, very important. It's going to have a big bearing on how well you perform overall.
Yeah, good. And yeah, exactly. And chances are, if you're focused on winning or losing, you're going to be tight. You're going to be you're going to be nervous, and even that's how you can tell. So when that happens, you really want to shift your focus to what's now. It's like,
sure.
You know, if you keep hitting cars in the road, the chances are you're not looking at the road. It's the same thing here.
Makes sense.
So I want to also give a little homework to give people a little bit of ability to shift their focus here, because doing that is not as easy. It's easier said than done, right?
Right, right.
So take two fresh pieces of paper and write on the top of one of them winning and the top of the other losing. And Ian, you mentioned earlier not make winning or losing mean anything, but really look at it as a byproduct of how well you played.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the one on losing, I want you to make a long list. And I mean long, listing everything losing means to you and everything losing means about you and what's the worst thing that can happen, really.
Okay.
Okay. And for winning, make a long list. What winning means to you and means about you and what's the best thing that can happen, really.
So we're talking about like emotional responses, you know, being happy with yourself, or maybe relational things, your teammates being happy with you, that sort of thing.
Right, your whole relationship to losing. And I want really to flush it all out.
Sure.
And, you know, if it loses, then it means that my coach is going to be disappointed in me and I suck. Or
right,
if I
right.
win, then I'm okay and the practice I've been doing pays off. Or if I lose, then practicing, you know, I did it for nothing.
Okay, sure.
I'm wasting my time or something like that. You really get kind of deep into it. The deeper you get, the better it'll be, I promise. And then once you've done this, and this is not like a 5-minute thing, you want to spend a little time on this to really get, like, roll up your sleeves, get in depth, is to realistically ask yourself, now, is anybody going to really remember if you won or lost in a week, month, or a year?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, can you really remember all the matches you played a month or a year ago? I mean, anybody really.
Anybody.
It's kind of doubtful, right?
Right.
So chances are it's going to continue that you won't really remember in a month or a year what if you won or lost.
People would generally like to think that others would remember, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have a feeling that we remember better than anybody else also.
Exactly, right.
Because I have no idea. I can't think of anybody who I play with, if I beat them or lost to them, or if they won or lost a match a week ago. I think we're a lot more involved in that than, you know, our own wins and losses than other people.
Right.
So also, the second thing is, I want to, like, truthfully evaluate the validity of the list you made. And it may take asking other people. You know, like, it's just stuff all really true. And when you get down
right,
to it,
right.
You know, when you won or you lost, at the end, when you win or lose, all it really means you had more or less points than the other person. And, you know, the point of all this is, you know, we add a lot of inflated significance to winning and losing that isn't necessarily that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times isn't even real.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, doing these things should give people an access and ability to give up nerves to some degree. And there are a million ways to deal with this. And these, without actually speaking with people and interacting with them, which is not, you know, on a podcast, I think this would answer the question the best.
Definitely. Well, let's, we've really good stuff, David, and I really appreciate your insight. We've still got a couple more questions to get to here. Let's see if we can whip through these real quick.
How much time do we have?
5 minutes.
All right, let's do it. These are shorter than the first.
Yeah,
two.
And a lot of what we've talked about is going to directly apply to these next two questions. So we won't spend as much detail on these, but still very good questions. So this one here is from Sally, and
should we just summarize this one?
Yeah, let's do that. Basically, in Sally's question, she started off well in her match. She was up 2-0, and then her opponent started switching up her strategy. Her opponent started coming to the net and being very aggressive. And before Sally knew it, she was down 2-3. And Sally basically, during this set, started telling herself, listen, you need to stop worrying about the score. She was really flustered that she was up initially and then got down in the set and ended up losing the set, and then came back to win the next set 6-1 because she calmed herself down, etc. So basically her question was, she says here, pretending that I was drilling took my mind off the score, which mentally gave me confidence and turned my match around. I hope the mental coach talks about ways to stop worrying about the flipping score, she says.
Yeah.
So go ahead and expand on that. We already talked about that directly a little bit, David,
right.
But anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, she did it, actually. And I'm going to go over kind of what she did that worked so she can repeat it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't think of the score when you're playing and think of something effective. Thinking of the score is not effective, right? So it really takes focusing on there to have you play well. And, you know, it's either thinking of the score or thinking of your strategy or thinking of the score or thinking of something effective, right?
Sure, yeah.
And what she really did was she got tough on herself and she, you know, mentally tough on herself, and she gave herself all the way and focused only on her strategy, and that's it. And she didn't really worry about the results. She didn't really worry about the score, and she really just focused on her game plan.
Yeah.
And she stuck to it, like white on rice, and that's really what it takes. And so, you know, she kind of did it, and this is what there is to do to repeat, Sally. And what really worked is that's what you did pretty much worked when you started making a comeback. And you know what there is to add for next time is to get this tough on yourself from the start of the match.
Sure. Yeah.
And really, you know, totally, you gave up thinking about the score. You just focused on your game plan. That's all you did. And then you won. And all there is to do next time is to start this way and with this mentality for next time, at the start.
So she needs more initial focus on exactly what her game plan is from the get-go instead of waiting until she's behind and then realizing, oh, crap, I better turn this around.
Yeah, and this gets also into the next question, which is, you know, how do you maintain the same focus when you're ahead? And the guy's problem is that he doesn't play as well when he's ahead, and he plays much better when he's behind. The real thing is, don't wait to get tough, but be proactive.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we get behind, like, oh, poo, I gotta really focus now. Don't wait that long. And really take generating for yourself, opposed to, it's a little bit of a shock when we're like, oh my gosh, I'm behind, it's uncomfortable. So we start to work really hard. Start working that hard from the start, regardless of whether you're up or down.
Yeah, and that was Dean's question. He said, I tend to play better when I'm behind in a match. How do I maintain the same mental focus and toughness when I'm ahead? So do you have any specific, you know, how do we get out there and walk out from the very first point and have that kind of focus? Is it just experience and doing it enough times that we kind of build up a skill of being able to do it? Or do you have any specific techniques?
Yeah, that's part of it. And, you know, you really don't want to wait till you're behind or ahead to get tough and proactive.
Right.
But you want to bring that same mentality, and this is for Dean, bring that same mentality when you're behind, and which you may need to think about what that mentality actually is and write it down. You know, really think what that mentality is that you bring that has you play so well when you're behind.
So a specific thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and it could take really, and it, I, chances are when you're behind, you're being really rigorous with yourself and strict with yourself in terms of your mental game. That's what it takes actually the whole match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And generate that same mindset and that same rigor and strictness the entire match.
And that takes a lot of discipline, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and look, the mental part of the game is not necessarily that easy.
Right,
but this is what's going to have us win and beat players that are way better than us, potentially, and also always beat the players who we should always beat.
Right, right.
It just takes doing the mental lifting. It's a muscle that there is to develop, and it gets easier over time. And you're totally capable of doing it, you know. We're all totally capable of doing it. We do it when we're behind, so we can do it when we're ahead. We just need to get ourselves to do it.
Sure.
Opposed to have the score get us to do it.
Well, really good stuff, Dave. And Sally and Dean, I'm sorry we didn't spend as much time specifically on your guys' questions, but hopefully that gives you some good input and some good specific ideas on improving that mental part of your game, staying focused right from the get-go. Well, David, we're all out of time. Thank you very much for being on the show today. I've really enjoyed talking to you about these topics, and I'm sure my listeners who took the time to write their questions, I'm sure they're going to be really happy to hear your feedback. So thank you for joining us on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
And everybody, make sure that you check out David's website at GeminiExecutiveCoaching.com. And he's got a blog there. And David, didn't you say you're going to put some notes up having to do with these questions?
Yeah, in this week, I'm going to blog the notes that I made in answering everybody's questions.
Awesome. Great. So go on over to his website to maybe see a couple of extra thoughts and get refreshed on what he said here today on the show. All right. Well, David, I look forward to having you back on the show again in the future. And thanks again. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That brings the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 57, to a close. Thank you so much for supporting me and the podcast by downloading today's show and listening to it. I really appreciate having you as a listener. This week, as you're looking for more good content, head on over to EssentialTennis.com, where you can find lots of blog articles having to do with equipment, strategy, your mental game, and even the ATP Tour. And you can sign up for the forums there as well. So have a great week, everybody. Take care, and good luck with your tennis.